Okay, turn with me again this morning to Acts chapter 28. Finally coming to the end of this long journey that we've been on for a while. Beginning in verse 11, let's hear the word of God. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this morning as we once again are privileged to open your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive them, and I thank you for it. Amen. Where are you going? And what are you going to do when you get there? Everyone who is in Christ has a destiny. It's a destiny that we will reach. Not by chance, not by fate. We won't arrive at our destiny because somehow we've pulled up our own bootstraps and progressed, done it on our own. Somehow thinking that we made it happen. We will reach our destiny because God has appointed it. And He will bring us there. In this book of Acts, we've been looking at for over a year and a half now. We've seen God do extraordinary things through His apostles. A good portion of this book, obviously, chronicles God's work through the Apostle Paul. Remembering Paul, we see that he was a good Jew, well-educated. He was a despiser and a persecutor of all things Christian. Anyone who followed Jesus was an enemy to Paul. We recall that he had an unimaginable encounter with Jesus Christ on that Damascus road. And he was quickly converted. Paul was given a call to be an apostle to the Gentile world, even though his great love was for the Jews, his own people. He wanted to see them come to Christ. And yet he was obedient to God. He took upon himself the call that was given to him and pursued the Gentile world. He demonstrated his devotion to Christ, both in good times and in difficult times. Paul suffered many abuses and many perils. God had a destiny for Paul. He was to go to Rome. That would be the highlight. He would go to Rome. You know, we can rightfully imagine that Paul had his days. Though there were times, I'm sure, when he became discouraged. When there was an irate mob that wanted to tear him limb from limb, Paul probably was not smiling. Or awaking after being pummeled by rocks. Or being tossed about in a ship in the middle of an angry sea. Paul probably encountered some discouragement. Or simply being rejected by those that he loved. Bringing the message of Christ, bringing good news to people that he cared about and having them turn him away as some kind of fool. Confronted by one trial after another, our minds start to play tricks on us. We start to think all kinds of things. We may even, in the middle of our own turmoil, come to the conclusion that God has abandoned us. And we begin to think again like Job, and we say, God, we were good people. Look at all the great things we've done. I've been diligent. I've been faithful in my studies of your word. I've been prompt in daily prayer. I've been there every time I said I would be. I've been faithful to the church. I've been faithful to the things that you've given to me. God, how come now I'm in the middle of this turmoil, in the middle of this trial, and you've abandoned me? You've left me. It happens. It happens. But it's in those times where our trust, our reliance has got to be on the Word of God. We cannot just say, oh, you know what? Fooey on it. This is how I feel. Because we're fickle human beings. And today we might feel at the bottom as low as we can go, but tomorrow we might be dancing on clouds. The Word of God is faithful and true and steady and is forever there. That is where our confidence has to be. That's what we must reach back to. Paul, in these times, could look back. Remember in chapter 18, when Jesus comes to him and says, do not be afraid, I am with you. Paul's tossing around in the middle of a sea, and that ship could sink at any minute. He can think back and remember that Jesus said to him, Paul, you're going to be all right. You're going to live. I'm going to keep you. You must reach your destiny. That was not going to be accomplished by Paul's genius, by Paul's craftiness, by Paul's abilities and skills. The arrival at that destiny was only going to be accomplished by the hand of God firmly about him and leading him step by step to that point. It is the same hand of God that envelops you and will not let you go. As a child of God, you are firmly in the hand of God. When you feel downtrodden, when you feel despair, when you feel like all the things about you are against you, remember this, you are in the hand of God. He keeps you. And he will not let you go. Paul is on this island of Malta, and they're there for the winter because the crew, the captain, didn't listen to Paul's counsel. But God led him there anyway. We saw miraculous works here. We saw Paul giving these people the Word of God and them being able to testify that the Word of God was true. That not one life was lost in that sea. We've seen Paul bitten by a venomous viper, and not a thing happened to him. So after the after 3 months of staying on Malta, the mission continues. The journey to Rome continues. And I'm thinking that when Paul finally set foot in Italy, and he saw brethren, he saw brothers in Christ, that had to encourage him a bit. We should have that response to one another. When we are in those times, to come in contact with a brother or sister in Christ should lift our spirits. We should experience some kind of inner joy to know that there's a relationship there. There's something going on. To be reminded that in this world you are not alone. There are others that love you, that are about. Paul arrives in Italy. He's about God's business. He's doing what God set him to do. They walk the journey into Rome because there was no port there. And they make their way into the city. And once they have arrived into the city, the centurion who is in charge of the prisoners turned them over to the keeper of the prison. All the prisoners, that is, but one. And that would be the apostle. Paul was still a prisoner. But Paul was allowed the convenience, if you would, of a house arrest. He enjoyed, in those circumstances, greater liberty. Greater liberty, not complete. Obviously, those were days before they had these newfangled leg bracelets, you know, that they could just slap on you and somewhere or sit remotely and watch everything you're doing all the time, whatever kind of thing. Paul was still a prisoner, and so he was bound to a guard. He had a chain on his arm, and the guard had a chain on, you know, connected to him. Good times, huh? What do you suppose Paul talked to this guard about? I think he asked him if the Indians were going to have a good season this year. Did he say, hey, where can I get a good pizza in this town? What was Paul's call? What did Paul do? No doubt, the Roman guards, and there were many, he didn't just have one guard. They worked four-hour shifts. So every 4 hours, Paul got a new congregation. Albeit a congregation of one. All those who got the opportunity to guard Paul received the blessing of hearing the gospel. After 3 days of this house arrest, Paul sends out a request for the Jewish leadership in Rome to come to visit him. He couldn't go to them. He was under arrest. It's just the way it was. So some accepted the invitation from him. Some did not. But when they came in, he had an opportunity to explain his situation to them. Why it was he was under arrest. Why it was he was a prisoner. This was the same apostle who had written to this church 3 years previously. They were familiar with who Paul was and what he was about. And he said, guys, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. You ever been in trouble and used that? Somebody ever, you know, call you on the carpet and you say, I didn't do anything wrong. How many times when you've been called on the carpet did you really do something wrong? But that's always the defense. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, Paul did it. Paul didn't. Paul had not preached against the fathers. Paul had not preached against the law. What Paul had done was preach about the hope of Israel, the Messiah. And their response to Paul, when he presented his case to them, their response to Paul is somewhat odd. Because they said to him, basically, we don't know what you're talking about. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for asking us over. We see you're in a difficult situation, but we don't know anything about this. They said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. Wow. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. Paul, we've had no correspondence. We've had no eyewitnesses. We don't know anything about it. But we have heard about this new thing. We have heard about this thing called the Way. We have heard about this sect of the Nazarene. And people everywhere are speaking against it. Enlighten us, Paul. Tell us what this is all about. Are things really that much different? If God has blessed you with faith in Christ, that's the greatest thing in the world. But if you take a survey, how popular is Christianity? Real Christianity. You know what? People don't want to hear that they're sinners. People don't want to hear that they have to bow the knee to someone and receive forgiveness. Christianity is a wonderful thing on December the 25th, where we sing ho, ho, ho and exchange gifts and hark the herald angels sing. And Christianity is even all right, you know, in March or April, however the calendar falls, when we can pass around chocolate bunnies. That's okay. But Christianity is not so great when it says to you, you must stop doing what you're doing. Christianity is kind of offensive when it tells me that I can't do whatever I please. Because God is love. It's a different story. And so people today do talk against Christianity. Even as Paul is hearing from the Jews here in Rome. So they're talking all against it. And Paul takes this opportunity to give them the gospel. To open their books and give them the gospel. It says he spoke from morning until night, opening the law, opening the books of Moses and the prophets, and showing them all of these guys were, all that they were talking about was pointing forward to this Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Messiah. He is the King. He is the Savior of which we all need. This Jesus of Nazareth is the hope that they had been waiting for. And what was the result of his teaching? Spending all day long opening the books and showing them. What was the result of the gospel message that Paul preached to these people? Some believed, and some didn't. It's what always happens. You see, it is not our responsibility or our obligation to change a man's mind because we can't do it. It is our obligation to give the gospel. Say, look, you need Jesus. You're a sinner. Doesn't really matter what you think. That's the facts. When the gospel is presented to someone, the Holy Spirit either opens their heart, makes them able to receive it, or he doesn't. They'll either receive a great sense of conviction and a need, a compulsion to confess their sins, or they won't. Paul's in the same boat. And what happens is his audience, his congregation here in this instance, starts to fight among them, one another. Didn't Paul have a kind of a knack for that? Every time Paul preached, not every time, but many times when Paul preached, people end up fighting with each other. Remember the little when the Sanhedrin met and Paul decided to bring up the idea of the resurrection? And he said, I'll just put that out there and I'll just step back and you guys go at it. As the Sadducees and the Pharisees beat each other to pulps, so to speak. While they're arguing, while they're going back and forth, Paul speaks one more word. He said, the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers. Let me just add one thing. Do you think the Holy Spirit could ever say anything wrongly? He don't know how. And he quotes from Isaiah. Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. Paul is basically saying to these people, what a bunch of knuckleheads. Look what God has done before. Look how God spoke to your fathers before. This was the word of God through the prophet Isaiah. He's speaking through from Isaiah 6. They said, and he's going on, and he's saying, you're going to hear, but you're not going to hear. You're going to see, but you're going to be blind. You simply will not understand. Why would God close their eyes, close their ears, and then punish them for not seeing or hearing? Why would God, is that fair? We hear all about fairness today. Is that fair? Is that fair that God would close their eyes, that God would close their ears, that God would present them with this word and then judge them and then punish them because they didn't see or they didn't hear, they didn't understand? Is God ever unjust? He cannot be. It is God's judgment. It is His judgment on those who did not want to see or did not want to hear in the first place. Don't preach to me. Don't tell me the gospel. Don't tell me anything I need to know because I know everything. And God says, fine. You know it all. I'll judge you based on what you want. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you heard the word of God? Dr. Sproul made a comment. He said, if you hear the word of God again and again, and it continues to fall upon a stony, recalcitrant heart, God may give you over to that heart forever. I understand it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we hear. We receive the word. We hear the word. That's what Paul is warning these guys about. They said, listen, this was the word of God through Isaiah to your fathers. Remember your history. What happened? They heard the word of God. They heard it in their rebellion, and they went deeper into their rebellion. Their hearts became harder and harder. And God would judge them. That's what Paul is warning this current group. That's what God's word is warning us. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Because of the refusal of the Jews to hear, God has blessed you and I. Because as Paul wrote to the Romans in the fifth chapter of Romans, where sin abounded, God's grace abounded so much more. This is a blessing of God to all of His people. That the gospel is not limited to just one small group of folk. That it's available to all His people, Jew or Gentile. What a great blessing that is. You may have to think about it. You may have to ponder it. Because you might say, you know what? Yeah, okay, I've heard that before. Yeah, maybe you did. Live long enough, you'll hear it again. Thank God for His grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning. We are grateful